My earliest lesson in mindful leadership, Megan, was when you're building something, like you've so beautifully built your business and all of your people, this wasn't about me being a social media influencer, which by the way, didn't even exist then. You know, this was, I genuinely cared about my female epilepsy patients. So he basically told me, well, if you want to do this, you have to do it on your own free time. We're not giving you additional resources, meaning I couldn't use any employees in the department or funding. So it was like, you have a full-time job, seeing patients, teaching medical students, doing research, do this on your own time. And sister, you know what happened, don't you?
Welcome to the Anthropology Podcast. I'm your host, Megan Walker. As a former naturopathic doctor and anthropologist, I align the intersection of personal performance, purpose, and innovative thinking in badass women working to change the world as entrepreneurs and go-getters. Anthropology is the study and science of what makes an entrepreneur think, feel, and perform in a path compelled by a vision for helping others, solving problems, while building a life on your own terms. Together, we are exploring the health, mindset, and strategies that distinguish the world's best entrepreneurs. This is the Anthropology Podcast. Welcome to episode 215 of the Anthropology Podcast. Well, we're talking about something today that I'm fairly confident is universal for most of the people who are hanging out here today, and that is the idea of a busy brain. How do we shut off the constant firing, the input, the inboxes, all of the pieces of information that our brain is handling on a daily basis? You know, to have this conversation, there's a lot of experts that we could have brought in, but I'm really excited that the person joining me today, Dr. Romy Mustak, she is an expert in brain health because she is a triple board certified neurologist. She is coming at this conversation as someone traditionally trained, frustrated by what she was seeing over and over and over again in clinical practice. And that was the intersection of our hormonal health, our adrenal health, our thyroid health, our nervous system collectively, in particular as women, and how that was influencing the performance of our brains. She is particularly focused on functional and integrative medicine. She is interested in that intersection and how the choices we make on a daily basis influence what's happening above our shoulders. We are not talking about this in the way that you've probably heard it spoken about before. We're coming at it from an entirely different angle. So if you are one of those people who is desperate to know how to shut off the conversations that are happening inside your head, then this episode is for you. Dr. Romy Mustak, welcome to the Anthropology Podcast.
Oh, Megan, it's an honor to be here. I have been following your work and in your community. I was just telling you in the pre-interview, I find myself feeling some days like I need to focus on biz and some days that I need to be a badass. And okay, let's be real, probably focus on my body. So I am excited to be with you and your entire community today. Thank you.
The pleasure is all mine because we are delving into a topic today that I think is so real for so many of us, not just in the entrepreneurial space, but in the, I'm going to say in the achievement, in the make the world better space, in the mom space, in the women doing it all space. And that is this notion of a busy brain. How do we turn that down? How do we scale it back? And what I think is so great, and part of why I want to have this conversation with you, is I feel like the busy brain is something we all have going on, but we're never quite sure it's happening to other people. So we're going to delve into that in a really deep way, but I'm wondering before we do, can you share with my listeners a little bit about yourself? Why are you are so uniquely qualified to speak about this subject?
Megan, thank you for sharing it. You know, I grew up with one success mantra. I'm a daughter of immigrants and English is my second language. And growing up here in the United States, one success mantra, we have one daughter, you will become a doctor. So, you know, I did that traditional path and was a good girl of South Asian descent and went into neurology at a time where less than 5% of brain doctors in the United States were women. My specialty is epilepsy. So I have a very thorough understanding of how the brain works, but very early started to look at research and do research myself of what we call the mind-body connection right now. Back then, it was no one was paying attention to women with migraines and epilepsies and how their hormonal health was affecting the brain disease and vice versa. And so that's where I kind of got into this, but life pulled the rug out from underneath me. And I say it in that way because this pandemic has done that for a lot of people. Was I was burning the candle at both ends, wearing stress as a badge of honor, never let them see you sweat because you're working in a man's world. And not only did I burn out, but I ended up very sick. And 10 and a half years ago, underwent life-saving surgery. And at that time, I found a path to integrative medicine and mindfulness. And now, okay, let's just do a collective eye roll on Megan's podcast because you're like, oh, she's going to go to that bougie place. But y'all, this was before like everybody's favorite medical school YouTube was online. There wasn't some basic app on your watch telling you, girl, pause, breathe. I mean, this meant I was reading these esoteric books from the library. They were going over my head. So I was going to find these spiritual teachers in Eastern Asia, South Asia, South America, travel and learn. And somewhere along the way, I had that aha moment like, oh my gosh, I'm supposed to be doing this for brain and mental health. You fast forward to today, and I live at this intersection of neurology, integrative medicine, and mindfulness, and how do we scale brain and mental wellness programs into corporate America? Very much like your audience, I serve the unapologetic, success-driven professionals. But my whole idea is you don't need to burn out your brain to get there.
I absolutely love that. And as a naturopathic doctor, I'm like, of course, this makes so much sense. We've been saying yes to this scenario in our clinical practices forever. But I don't feel like that necessarily is the inherent environment for where you came from. Romy, I'm wondering if you can just share, like, what was it that happened to you as a clinician? And what did you start to recognize in the patterns of your patients where you're like, whoa, there is a connection between hormones and what's happening in women's brains and a true acknowledgement from your respective training of that influence and integration.
You know, Megan, it's so interesting you say that because in our world of social media and repeatable, tweetable sound bites, you want this one aha moment. But here's an important lesson to all the entrepreneurs here. It doesn't happen like that. There is no lightning bolt that comes down from the sky and says, booyah. It was doing the 10,000 hours of work. And what it just kept coming to me was, as I told you, I was the only female. I was a junior resident in training, and female patients were just naturally migrating to me. Ah, finally, I have a female brain doctor. So it took, you know, 1 year of internal medicine, 3 years of neurology residency training, and 2 additional years of fellowship. So 6 years in training of over and over again hearing women tell me their stories. And somewhere along the way in fellowship, when I was doing deep research in epilepsy and brain patterns, that it started to come. And I would talk to other male colleagues, and they were very, you know, welcome, but we all agreed that there wasn't much research. So now I found myself having to cross over and look into the research in OBGYN and endocrinology and start pulling things together. And I then, you know, made the mistake with my first chairman where I burnt out, right? Whenever a boss says we have an open door policy, I walked in this excited young entrepreneur, Megan.
I believed them.
Can you just see that? Like, you said you had an open door, Megan. Boom. Hi. I came in without an appointment. Now, I was smart enough to have a business plan. And I told him and I pitched him and I said, nobody is listening to women epilepsy patients. I'm here. I want to start the comprehensive women with epilepsy program. We're going to do research. I've pulling in colleagues from the OBGYN department, the urology who specializes in sexual health, the endocrinologist, the nurses, we're going to do this. And he just looked at me. And do you know what his words were?
I can't wait to hear.
This is what happens when you bring in a hormonal woman to the department. Now you want to, you know, spread this everywhere.
Stop.
Girl. Yes, this is medicine. Like, this is the wake-up call. Like, girl, and this is still happening. This was
this is the aha moment for everyone in our audience. They're like, I was listening to that podcast, and that's when I realized. Okay, right? Yep.
And so that's the time most people think, oh my God, my idea or notion is stupid. And we back away from that brilliant business idea because somebody who's an authority says no. And I remember at least I was tough enough to keep his eye gaze and like be like, you know, just watch me. But the minute I closed the door and walked out, I remember falling into tears. I remember calling my father, who's also a doctor, and him yelling at me, Megan, going, you just ruined your career. We told you your chairman should never see you, never hear you. They don't like women in neurology. Like, you know, you just ended your career. But here's the thing. This idea was not about me. It was my earliest lesson in mindful leadership, Megan, was when you're building something, like you've so beautifully built your business and all of your people, this wasn't about me being a social media influencer, which by the way, didn't even exist then, you know? This was, I genuinely cared about my female epilepsy patients. So he basically told me, well, if you want to do this, you have to do it on your own free time. We're not giving you additional resources, meaning I couldn't use any employees in the department or funding. So it was like, you have a full-time job, seeing patients, teaching medical students, doing research, do this on your own time. And sister, you know what happened, don't you?
Oh, I do.
2 years later, we had a multi-million dollar revenue stream from patients and research. And here I was, one of the youngest members of the academy on stage, talking about our research in sexual health and hormones and pregnancy with women with epilepsy. But the most important thing was that during those 4 years before I left and got sick, 72 couples and women who were told they couldn't have babies because they have epilepsy had children. 72 babies were born in those 4 years. And that's what really matters.
Right. So where are we at in terms of the intersection and acknowledgement of the influence of hormones on the brain?
Yeah.
Is this accepted?
Oh, completely. In the traditional medical communities, you know, in the integrative medicine communities, the field of neurobiology is robust, neuroendocrinology. In fact, it's an actual PhD. And if I had free time and I wasn't in healthcare startup mode, do you know what I would want to do?
Don't do it.
I want to go back and get my PhD in psychoneuroimmunoendocrinology. I mean, doesn't that just sound sexy saying that? I think I'm like getting a hormonal flush, right? That is the intersection of how your mood and your thinking influences the structure and function of your brain, that influences your entire hormone and immune system. When we think of hormones, we think of sexual health, but we have, as you know, 50 hormones that govern every function in our entire body.
So let's talk about this. Do hormones influence what happens in the brain, or does the brain influence what happens with hormones, or is this this beautiful infinite loop that takes place between the two?
I'm just going to say option three, there's an infinite loop. And the problem is when we try to go down in the route and Google a problem for the busy brain, like we'll get to, we get stuck on something we know, or we just get stuck by a bias because, you know, you heard a podcasting friend or you heard an Instagram influencer telling you you have mold. So now you think everything has to do with the mold. Well, no, you know, our body is a beautiful ecosystem. And anything that's out of balance, sometimes it's hard to know where did it start, your gut, your hormones, or your brain, but it's one entire ecosystem that must be balanced. And here's an example. When I was in my integrative medicine practice, Megan, we had a lot of women coming in that were in that premenopause, menopause stage. Maybe they've been told they're going to menopause too early and adrenal fatigue was missed. So what would happen? They would go, my colleagues would go straight, and very smart integrative functional medicine doctors would go straight into the gut health and hormonal health. And what would happen? There was little or no improvement. Why? Because we didn't address brain and mental health. We didn't start with the sleep. We didn't do the mood. We didn't introduce that. And so we would have these Tuesday morning sessions. And finally, I think after about 6 to 7 months there, we realized that when our clients were coming in, it needed to be a two-prong approach. You needed to do the mind-body medicine piece with Dr. Romy and, if needed, do, you know, evaluate food, nutrition, hormones. But I'm a neurologist, so take this for what it's worth. I have my bias, but I think, you know, sleep is the new status symbol for successful professionals. And it starts with your sleep and your circadian rhythm and your mood and your energy, and then everything else follows. But yeah, that's my bias. Bring in somebody who does hormones, they're going to tell you to start with hormones, Megan, right?
100%. Okay, so let's talk about this sleep thing, because I hear from women all the time. They're like, okay, get it. I'm supposed to sleep. I cannot turn off my head. Like, I can't turn off my head because I have 85 identities and 102 hats, and it just, it doesn't stop. And I think as soon as you say busy brain, I think you have thousands of people who are putting up their hand. They're like, that's me, that's me. Now what? Like, I want to sleep. I want to have the balanced hormones. I don't have the tools and resources to turn it off.
And I'm here as your sister saying, I'm not here with that next level basic bougie brain health advice. Like, have berries and just breathe, because we've gone so far beyond that right now with everything that's happening in the world the last year. So here was my surprising research on the busy brain, that it turns out there is a part that traditional medicine got wrong, neurology and psychiatrists. And when I talk to them, by the way, they agree that anxiety, difficulty focusing, borderline ADD, not ADHD, by the way, ADD, adult onset ADD, attention deficit disorder, and insomnia are not three separate diseases. They're all three sides of the same coin. And I call that the busy brain. There is a, and we'll delve into a second, a specific pattern of inflammation we see in the brain that creates this busy brain. So what does it go like? It's like, girl, Megan, don't even talk to me in the morning until I get up and have a cup of coffee. Now, I'm telling you it's a cup of coffee, but really I chug three energy drinks and I'm not going to tell anybody, right? And then you're going and your messengers are going off and somebody's pinging you into a clubhouse room and somebody just DM'd you on Instagram and your emails are multiplying faster than you can even do one thing. You can't focus. So you get more caffeine. You try to do the healthy, latest, trendy matcha. Green, you know, whatever it is, charcoal laden shake. You're hungry, so you're really going to go for the carbs, and your anxiety is building through the day, and so you keep drinking caffeine thinking you need more energy. And at some point in the evening, we've now lost that blur between work and home, and we think we need to calm down. So what happens? We either take a glass of wine to take the edge off, or buy some overpriced supplement because some influencer were peddling it and we didn't get our labs assessed, as you and I both know, right? And then you lay down and you're like, I can't shut off that war going on in my head. So the answer to your head is that it didn't start when you put your head on the pillow. It's a cycle of a busy brain and a busy life that we need to break in your brain. And that's where it starts.
So you were saying at the beginning of talking about this busy brain that there is a pattern of inflammation in the brain. Can we just talk about inflammation in the brain? Because I think for a lot of people, that sounds really bad. Like, my brain is busy, but there's no way there's inflammation happening in my brain.
Megan, we're getting eye rolls going, oh God, there's that buzzword in integrative medicine again, inflammation, right? We're going to get one of two responses. So one, inflammation is not just one thing in the body. When you hear colleagues like Megan and I talking about inflammation, inflammation means a lot of different things or patterns when you look down to chemicals and hormones. So number one, I want to say that. Number two, I want to say, sister, breathe. Your brain is not broken. Your mind is not a mess. And your spirit did not depart your soul. This is all fixable. I've been researching it for 3 years with tens and thousands of corporate clients. So here we go. I think at the core of the issue is our brain needs boundaries, and we don't do that, Megan, right? I call it like dehydrating our brains. And so this is the simplest way I can explain it, and then we'll talk about the actual science. Imagine, Megan, if you and I started to tell our clients, I don't want you to drink any liquids for 24 or 36 hours. That's insane, isn't it? Mm-hmm. You don't need a science degree to know, like, that's really dangerous for the body to go without water, juice, any kind of liquid whatsoever. And yet our brain is the same way with everything that is incoming to our senses. It's like we're using our brain as a bulletin board, and everything that we're seeing and touching and doing and consuming is, there's no boundaries. So you have this, your limbic system, which is, you know, tied in, and a lot of people have heard this specifically, our amygdala, our hippocampus, our limbic system that modulates our memory and our mood. I think of it as a circuitry overload. And the busy brain is different than what happens in patterns of inflammation in the brain for Parkinson's or depression. Here, instead, there's this hyperactivity of the brain. So think of it as your glutamate and your excitatory dopamine, epinephrine, your hormones that surge energy are out of balance, and GABA that calms the brain down. So when we talk about an infinite loop, there should always be a balance of GABA and glutamate in a perfect scenario in your brain. And that's just an example of two chemicals in the brain. There are many more, but let's just start with those two basic ones. And there's this imbalance. So GABA is like the person that calms everybody down coming into the brain, right? And everything we're doing that is ruining our brain's boundaries is depleting our GABA. So what are two things that immediately will help our GABA receptors and help calm them? Alcohol and medications like Xanax and Ambien, which doctors will prescribe. And you're like, well, Dr. Romy, I'm fine if I have alcohol or my doctor gave me a prescription. But here's the shocking science that a lot of people don't talk about. When the alcohol or benzodiazepine is that class of drugs, the sleeping and anti-anxiety pills, metabolize out of your brain, they upregulate the GABA receptor. So what does that mean? It means these calming receptors that need more GABA have now multiplied. So now alcohol is gone, the Xanax has gone out of your brain, and there's even a larger deficiency than before. So what is the symptom that happens? You wake up the next day even more anxious. And the first thing I do when my clients call me and going, I don't know what's happened today. My anxiety is out of control. I literally say this. Okay, Megan, without judgment, did you have any wine or alcohol last night? Or did you have any prescription medications, right? Because it'll automatically change what I give them the next day to calm that down. As you know, I don't need to tell you, but that's a little bit. And the entire axis is known as our, you know, that stress response that gets kicked off and hyperactivity is now triggering the hypothalamic pituitary thyroid adrenal axis. And where I see that people who are in your community who are like, girl, I've got my adrenal fatigue under control, I'm doing all this and that. This is where we find, when I go back to that story of our integrative medicine patients not getting help, was if you're not addressing
The top of the pyramid
in the brain, and then the hypothalamus, the pituitary, then the thyroid, you're not going to get too far with just treating adrenal fatigue. And I think that's a large disservice we in the integrative functional medicine community have done. Adrenal fatigue was like a trendy topic and still is for the last 5 years, right? And it is important and it is real, but it's so much more complex than that. And that's where this research comes in. It's looking at the specific, that inflammatory panel where this hyperactivity. So think of it, hyperactivity, doesn't it make sense? I can't focus. I'm anxious during the day. I can't shut my brain off. I may have irritable bowel, right? You know, all those things that go along with it, acid reflux, high blood pressure, all of that goes with it. And then we look down at the root cause of it. And that's known as the brain shift protocol, which I know we'll get into, but yeah, but that's essentially what a busy brain is. And I'm here to say you're not alone. I've been there. I mean, you and I were just talking before the interview, Megan, the day we recorded this, we both are in the middle of launches, very important projects. I tend to shift into a busy brain, but I know how to shift myself out of it.
Well, and the thing I've noticed, you know, being in this launch, and I want to call this out to entrepreneurs, is we've launched this program a few times. This is the most organized we've ever been. And I find myself scavenging to create more stress. Because yesterday I went through this pyramid, I'm like, oh, I'm not working hard enough on this. I was like twiddling my thumbs. I was like, I was making work for myself. And it was so interesting. And I stopped and I recognized, one, what I was doing. And then the second thing I realized, I was like, oh, I am looking for these anxiety triggers within my system. That is normally what is happening when I'm in a launch. And so I reoriented and I organized where I was at. But I think it's important to recognize that one of the things that happens when we get in these patterns is we're so used to feeling a certain way in particular environments that I feel like sometimes we even self-sabotage ourselves to put ourselves back into a state of stress, back wow. into a dopamine Ooh. High in whatever way we go,
Knowledge.
Because, you know, that's how we're supposed to feel when we're in launch mode. And so I shut it down, and it was great because I walked into a live webinar last night and I was in my flow state because I stopped, I interrupted the pattern. I relaxed by playing with my kids before I did it. Mm. I walked in, I just had fun. I wasn't worried about 10 other things because it was all taken care of. And it was a really great acknowledgement to me that I actually just leveled up how I'm going to now approach these situations, because it's a whole different tier that I can engage in when I'm not in a flurry. But I really had to be aware that there was almost a physiological addiction yeah. to that state. And I felt I needed to be in that state to be working hard enough or whatever else. And so it was, I just want to acknowledge that for everybody. I think we all have a little bit of that
yeah.
Where we have to be on edge at work. If I'm going to be in my flow state,
it's supposed to be stressful in order to have a successful launch. It's supposed to be stressful.
Right.
First of all, Megan, thank you for sharing that so openly, because I feel like you just offered me healing. We just launched the Brain Shift protocol at Evolution Hospitality, where I'm chief wellness officer. And we've launched this Brain Shift at Work program for other companies. And I think you just called me out on my brain nonsense. Like, oh my God, that was Romy yesterday. So like, that was knowledge drop. So any entrepreneur that's planning a launch this year, please go back and rewind and just listen to everything Megan just said. That was serious knowledge dropped and healing. And what you did is a part of our Brain Shift protocol. One of the weeks we teach, I call that a sensory reset for right. your brain. Our brain needs a sensory reset. And I'm going to, can I use this one analogy? Now, not all the ladies listening to this are going to get this, but I just want to see a hand raise if anybody else is like me, where you have naturally curly hair, but it's really frizzy. And in humidity, it's an absolute tangled mess. And Megan is raising her hands too. I did not know, because you've got a nice blowout.
I know it's quite straight right now, but yeah. that's just not its natural state.
Yeah. I don't know. I've got frizz on the video that's starting to develop. And I will tell you, but you know that it gets knotted up, right? And sometimes the knot is so bad, like there is no expensive potion or lotion that's going to get it out, and you just have to cut it out, right?
Yeah.
I feel like that's where our brains are right now mm-hmm. in 2021, Megan. It's, we used to have brain boundaries that translated to life boundaries. That's disappeared. Mm-hmm. And so what does that really translate to? If you're like me and you're like, wow, the things I used to do to manage my well-being are no longer working. So, you know, in my community, both, you know, in our global community and for my corporate clients, we're meditators. I mean, that's what I preach. Meditation is medicine for the mind. I've spent the last five years teaching mindfulness in corporate America. But all of a sudden, I was like, what? I must be doing something wrong. My meditation work isn't helping. I'm stressed, right? Or I'm sleeping and it still doesn't feel like it's enough. It's like that hair tangle knot. That's what is happening in the busy brain right now, because we don't recognize the undercurrent of stress. To Megan's point, old patterns from previous launches. Two, I mean, can we have some Romy real talk? We're in the middle of a pandemic, Megan, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
We our businesses are surviving, but who doesn't have a loved one that hasn't gotten sick, that's been negatively impacted? There's job loss. I mean, there's a lot of grieving and trauma that's going on. And so understand, and when you recognize that, you're more likely to have an aha moment of what Megan just described, and I call like a sensory reset. And it, to your point, you had to change what you were seeing. You went from work to your children, what you were touching, what you were smelling, what you were tasting. And just a few minutes of that starts to take out that mind tangle.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So for people who are in that state of busy brain mm-hmm. and they're like, oh gosh, like I have been treating my adrenals, but you're right. Like I'm still pouring water in the top of the, I always picture like those little things that kids have where you pour mm-hmm. water in the top and one wheel spins and the yeah. next wheel spins. Your adrenals are at the bottom of that.
Girl,
so if we're not turning yeah. the water off at the top and we're treating our adrenals, you just plan on staying on that adrenal support forever, because you're not actually treating.
Well, it's not just staying on the adrenal support forever. You're probably could actually be causing more harm. Now you're straining your thyroid. So you're making right. that top of the spigot worse, even if you're not addressing all of it, right? So don't panic. My first rule of thumb is assess, don't guess. Mm-hmm. Is so important. And, you know, we'll include it here in Megan's show notes if it's okay. We have mm-hmm. a free test That is a stress test, you know, that has been a validated neuropsychology test. We call it, you know, do you have a busy brain? The busy brain test.
And, I'm scared to take your test.
You know, well, and here I want everybody to hear me now as of the time we're recording this podcast, which is February, okay? We have had over 100,000 people go through this test because of all of our virtual corporate engagements last year. And then my newsletter. And 78% of people are on the rough end. So you're not alone. So there's three levels. We call it your standing in your brain power. If you score under a 30, that means you're able to take in your stress, process it, and perform. Process and perform. And we want to get everybody to stand in their brain power. Then there's that next level where, to your point, Megan, I think some of the adrenal fatigue, early adrenal fatigue, what do you call that in naturopathic medicine? When you're starting to show the early signs of adrenal fatigue, what do you think?
Oh, there's so many like terms we like
one,
to throw.
Stage one or you know, just yeah. Earliest signs. We call that the brain drain, where the typical things you do for energy, like exercise, getting, 6 to 8 hours of sleep a night or a little caffeine in the morning, stopped working. And you're starting right. to feel that there's an energy leak somewhere in your body. And then above a 40 is when you're in brain strain. We know now that your HPA axis or your busy brain is straining all systems in your body, whether it's your mental health, your hormones, your immune system, however disease is showing up for you, and you're on the path to burnout. So the first step is to assess and not guess. And then you're led to free resources that start to put you on the beginning cycle of going through brain shift and starting to take those assessments and understand what you can start doing right now.
Are there things where people are like, I can't turn my brain off, I just need to go to sleep, that you have in your arsenal mm-hmm. that you recommend for people to get started?
So first of all, it's let's stop the self-judgment. A lot of us who have that busy brain somehow think I have failed in my health when that happens. And I talk about that a lot because the guilt and shame cycle mm-hmm. is one of the most toxic and under-discussed problems in holistic health. Is the guilt and shame we feel. Well, okay, my friend Megan was doing a juice cleanse, but I only lasted 3 hours and she lasted 3 days, right? That guilt and shame or, you know, whatever that may be. So first of all, know you're not alone. In clinical neuropsychology terms, it's known as ruminating anxiety. And by the way, there are 8 different types of anxiety. This is one of them. And ruminating anxiety is very common in highly intellectual people. So what did I just say? Hey, if you can't shut your brain down at night, it means you're one of the smartest sisters. Yay. Right? Like it's occupational hazard. Our brains are going all day. So it's common.
Right.
Number one, stop the guilt and the shame. The second thing is, and things that, you know, your community has already heard, but I said, your brain needs boundaries. You need a longer sensory reset at night. And I know, given the circumstances in different parts of the world, it's really hard to go out and do things, but please step away from the screens and all the lights and the blue blocking glasses that Megan and I are wearing right now clinically have not shown to stop the inflammation in the HPA axis or the busy brain. So it's really important to do that. And then I always say, what's a longer sensory reset that you can do at night to calm down what you're seeing, what you're hearing, what you're tasting, what you're touching? It's different for everybody. Mm-hmm. For me, I'm a busy woman with a busy brain. I can imagine if people can relate. I have to keep myself busy before I go into my nighttime routine, you know, of steps 2 and 3, which we'll talk in a second. So I leave all my dirty dishes in the sink all day. And I know it's kind of gross, especially on the days I cook Indian food. Ooh, it's kind of smelly in the kitchen. But now my hands are in suds and it's relaxing to me in water. And yeah. then I feel like I'm accomplishing something because you went from dirty, smelly dishes to everything's clean in the dishwasher and it's running. And my dog gets an extra walk. So he's waiting with a wagging tail and happy at the door. So you can see I did a sensory reset of what I'm touching, smelling, seeing, mm-hmm. hearing. And now I have a sense of accomplishment. That's how you set boundaries for your brain. So I'm going to ask you, you are busy during the day. Everyone that's listening here, you're running a business, you have a family, there are no boundaries in life, but your brain needs boundaries, and do that at night. Take a sensory reset at night. So that would be step one.
I love that. I'm actually sitting here. I've got some rosemary beside me from as an essential oil. And I used to do this even as a student. I would study different subjects with different smells. And before I'd walk into that exam, I would like pick that smell.
Yeah.
But even at the end of the day, I've started to do that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to put on my diffuser. And there are certain things I put on only when the day is over. And I can feel my brain and my body is like, oh, it's that scent. Like we're relaxing now. And it's
exactly
it works so well.
Remember, you're touching the bottle and the diffuser and you're seeing it. So you've trained your brain. But also I really want to, can I amplify something you just said here that I think 100%. Is so important? In my brain science research, and as I look, because I get asked about essential oils all the time and I don't sell them because I don't do the multi-level marketing and my business is just my business model. No judgment to anybody that is, but as a licensed doctor and a journalist, I can't do that, right?
Yeah, but we can't either.
But here's the one thing I want to say about essential oils is one of the most common things I see where people have lost their brain boundaries and they're in that guilt and shame cycle is because somebody told them, well, XYZ essential oil should calm you down, or taking a bath with Epsom salts should do that. And the one thing we know with brain science is the most personalized sensation is your sense of smell. That is linked to a lifelong memories and encoding. And what do I mean by that? So she cracks up when I tell the story, but our at Evolution Hospitality, where I serve as chief wellness officer, our VP of HR, MC, she, you know, had me come in and break down the science of essential oils because there were too many people in the office trying to peddle these MLM things. And her and I were the perfect example. Her happy scent to keep her happy during the day and relaxed in the evening is that birthday cake or something like that that has a lot of vanilla in it and cinnamon. I smell that and I feel nauseated. I'm not relaxed. I don't get happy. I love those essential oils that have the mixture of clove and cinnamon and nutmeg because it reminds me of happy times of my aunts or my grandmother cooking and the cooking I grew up with. And that will annoy MC. What is this pungent smell? You know, and that. And it's just to your point that our receptors for our sense of smell in our nose that go directly to our frontal lobe from cranial nerve number one, olfactory nerve, are so personalized. And so even when people show you a clinical study for lavender oil and sleep, of which they are, there are a lot of us that don't fall into that category. So I want you to do a sensory reset of whatever feels good to you. And it's a little bit of trial and error. Like, you know, I call
it
create your joy buffet. What gives your eyes and your sense of hearing and your sense of smell and taste relaxation and try different things.
Yeah, it's such a great reminder that it can be individualized and take it into your own hands. As I'm saying this, I'm hearing voices in my head that are saying, I know I have a bottle I reach to at the end of the day too. And I take off the lid and I pour it into my wine glass. That's not the kind of sensory reset we're exactly talking about here, just to be clear.
And that's the idea. And listen, I know I'm going to lose friends when I say, let's be careful of the coffee and the alcohol. The one thing we never do in the brain shift protocol is take away any foods. So I don't take alcohol away, Megan. I don't take coffee away. But there's a difference of when we're using it because you enjoy a certain type of alcohol with meal and it's your it's a celebration, it's pairing it with food. And there's a difference when you're using it to medicate. And, you know, so when you're doing the other steps of our micro habits or what we call brain shifts and the brain shift protocol, your stress levels fall. So the idea is, you don't need as much caffeine during the day, or you don't need as much alcohol or prescription medicine at night. And that naturally starts to happen over the course of the 8 weeks of the program.
Yeah, I love that acknowledgement because it's one of the reasons I have found people don't seek in care or amelioration of how they're feeling. It's because, and I've talked about this with so many of my patients, who are like, I was just so scared you were going to take away the blank. Yeah. So I suffered for years. So I love that acknowledgement. What's step number two? As we're starting to move into brain shift.
So at nighttime, you know, at nighttime, we were talking about what to do at nighttime. So this is our 3:30 method, taking 3 minutes during the day to do a sensory reset. And Megan gave a great example of resetting with her kids. I go out and rake the leaves. I live in Florida, and the beautiful oak tree in my backyard year round is gifting me with leaves to rake. So I rake leaves, right? And during night, we talked about your longer sensory reset at night. And the next one is a brain dump. If you ink it, you know, if you think it, ink it, and then your mind is free to release it. I don't need you to go out and buy an expensive journal. Most of us are way too busy. Then we start feeling judgment because I can look right here to the left of me and I have five different planners that were sent to me as gifts to see, you know, would I use them as a part of my brain shift protocol? And I don't get to them every night. I mean, take the envelope that your cable bill came in on the back. And if you think it, ink it, because when your brain sees it, it releases it and you feel free. And that literally is it. And so write down those ruminating thoughts. So like, here was my ruminating thoughts, like, you know, don't forget to put makeup on for Megan's podcast interview in the morning. You know, make sure you walk my dog Raja so he doesn't bark during the interview, which he did anyway. And, you know, like I was thinking of all these random crazy thoughts last night, like, and I could not shut. We just launched a brain shift at Evolution Hospitality yesterday. So I couldn't, I was replaying all of that. I just started to write it all down. And it's amazing how something that simple, and we call it a brain dump, and we've done research on it. It actually works. You don't need, if you journal, lovely. Good for you, sister. I'm one of those people. I'm too busy to sit down and write full sentences.
I hear you. I hear you. What's step three?
Step three, meditation is medicine for the mind. And I want you to find some sort of mindfulness-based exercise that can help you. And in these days, the one that we've been really gifting to people and seeing that it really resonates in corporate teams and individuals is metta bhavana, or the Buddhist tradition of the loving kindness meditation. I think the one thing we're lacking right now, Megan, in the world is not only compassion for each other, we're so polarized, but compassion for ourselves. And we would have more compassion for other people with different viewpoints if we could first have compassion for ourselves. Like I said, we get a busy brain because our brain needs boundaries and we don't do that. And one of the things we also need is to feed that brain with compassion. And so that has been the step. And we will include it with all the free gifts for your listeners. We have a recording of me doing the Metta Bhavana or loving kindness meditation. But if you have any meditation app on your phone, look it up. There's so many versions of it. The way I was taught by my Buddhist and mindfulness teachers in Cambodia was you recite Metta Bhavana once for yourself, compassion for yourself, once for, you know, someone you know that you don't have conflict with. So like, you know, for you, it would be your children, as long as, you know, or me, my dog or something.
Depending
like
on the day.
Depending on the day. Thank you. You finished my sentence. I was like, okay, depending on the day, kids and the dog, I don't know, right? And then the third is you do it for your community, you know, like your family, your friends, and then you, or your company, and then you do it for all of mankind. So you recite it four times. And so that's been my prescription lately of which actual mindfulness-based technique I'm plugging in there. And I mean, most nights I don't even make it all the way through, and I'm reciting either the Sanskrit mantras for Metta Bhavana or doing the English version. And I just find myself lullabying myself all the way to sleep.
Lullabying yourself all the way to sleep. That, I feel like everyone could put their hand up at the idea of that piece. Yeah. I am loving all of this. And Dr. Romay, I feel like this is the perfect place in our interview to transition what we are talking about. And I always have this component that I include, and I call it our KPI. So just like we have key performance indicators in our businesses, I believe we have them in our life as well. So I've got four rapid fire questions for you. Are you ready?
Awesome. Let's go. I can't wait.
Number one, what is your most recommended book of all time?
The Alchemist by Paulo Coelho. It is the first book I read every New Year's Day. It is a beautiful tale. Somebody gave it to me 15 years ago when I went through a divorce. I still have that actual same book. And I feel like it helps me do a spiritual check-in of where I am on my personal, my journey to find my personal legend. And it never gets old. And I see a different sentence in there that speaks to me every time. So start with that one.
Yeah, beautiful recommendation. What is your favorite health hack?
Okay, I'm going to be a contrarian here. No more dieting, no more nutrition plans, and no more cleanses. On the Brain Shift protocol, which is an 8-week protocol, comfort foods are actually allowed. This flies in the face of every other expert you've had on here that's saying no gluten, this or that. And let me tell you why. Can I expand on this a little bit?
All right. We'll break the rules.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Okay. Move on. Okay.
No. Expand on it. It's so interesting. Well, there are no rules. We're entrepreneurs.
Awesome. Okay. Yeah. It's comfort foods are allowed. And here's why. I think the cleanses are very damaging to individual psyche, but also to the mission of diversity, equity, and inclusion. As I've studied now over a decade integrative medicine, I found almost every plan made me feel shamed for my heritage and the foods tied. And as I was scaling wellness programs into Evolution Hospitality and other large companies, I'm dealing with employees that are of diverse racial and ethnic and religious backgrounds. And most of the integrative and functional medicine protocols are pushing foods that are not respectful for global cultures. So we allow comfort foods. And it is the one thing every CEO or VP of HR has thanked me for. It was the shocking thing, Megan, that thank you for not putting our team on a diet. Thank you for not shaming us because we were eating gluten or we were doing that. Because the idea is if you control your HPA axis, all of a sudden I'm going to keep some of those things under control that we're stress eating or drinking. So that's my favorite health hack. Allow your favorite comfort food. So what's your favorite comfort food, Megan, in the moment?
The first one that came to mind, I'm like, I can't say that out loud, but say I'm it. Going to.
Yeah.
Ruffles, sour cream and onion, potato chips.
Absolutely. And allow yourself that with joy. Mine right now, can I tell you what mine is? Is basmati rice right now with potato curries on top and naan bread, like the 3-carb delight. Right? And
I don't know. Yours is a little healthier than mine.
No, baby, that's 3 versions of carbs. High glycemic carbs, white potatoes, white rice, and white flour in the naan. Yeah, no, mine's like the triple threat, but you allow yourself that.
Yeah.
There is joy and there is compassion. Like the relief. We just launched Brain Shift at Evolution Hospitality. I was telling you yesterday, and the relief they had when I said there will be no cleanse, there will be no diet. People, thank you. I'm going to have steak tonight. I was so scared you were going to tell me I can't eat it. So that is my favorite health hack. Allow yourself the joy of comfort foods.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. And that acknowledgement that so many of these diets suddenly put people in conflict with the heritage of how they eat. I saw this all the time in practice. And I would find myself at a loss sometimes because I'm like, I do not know how to tailor this need to the way of eating that is so important to you. And it is something that comes up all the time. And I think we all just kind of, we all skirt around it.
We can do another podcast episode.
We absolutely can. I think it is such a fantastic topic. I'm so glad we delved into that a little bit deeper.
Sorry to ruin rapid fire.
No, it's again, entrepreneurs, there are no rules. Okay. We're in our like element when we're not following rules. Question 3, how would you define your purpose?
I mean, you know, first I say all praises to God. That comes from God and it's not me or my ego. And my personal purpose in life is that we acknowledge the importance of our well-being for our brain and our mental health. And that there's 2 sides of that coin. It's how am I keeping my brain and mental health well? And how am I recognizing disease and treating that, right? And how can I scale that into the workplace? And why do I say the workplace? Because, or for entrepreneurs, that if I catch you where most people are likely to fall, where I fell, Megan, right? Not taking care of my brain and my mental health, and it had physical ramifications, but it started with the psyche. If we catch people where they're falling in the workplace, we're now helping our broken healthcare system because people are not as sick and having stress-related illness there. So that is my purpose, is let's have that Dr. Romy real talk about your brain and mental health in the workplace.
Love it. And last question for you, entrepreneurism, are we born this way or do we learn to become entrepreneurs?
I think it's a combination of nature and nurture. What I look at in the neuroscience, right, is, you know, while certainly there are probably habits that many entrepreneurs that we can attribute to genetics, we know about the field of epigenetics, you've had other experts on here, I'm going to say it's probably more how we were nurtured. And, you know, you heard my example is probably for most of my life, I have felt like an outsider. And I see that trait in many successful entrepreneurs, that you see something that's broken, you're not welcome. So you're going to learn to live or thrive in your own way. You're going to learn to create a problem to a solution your own way. And then you learn. And so I think it can be learned. And some of most, I am very blessed, Megan, in my life right now, and that I get to work and talk to some of the most successful entrepreneurs and athletes. And I will tell you this, 99.9% of them have had traumatic life events that they have had to overcome. At some point in their childhood, early adult, they've had that mistake moment that led to, you know, financial ruin or a divorce. And I end with that because we talked about ending guilt and shame, and that, my sisters, your brain is not broken, your mind is not a mess, and your spirit has not left your soul. I mean, really, it is. And whatever you're going through right now, it's going to make you so much of a more successful entrepreneur.
I love that. What a beautiful way to tie all these pieces together. Dr. Romy Mushtaq, this was awesome. I absolutely love this conversation. Where can we send people to learn more about what you are up to? And we will hook everyone up with our show notes.
Awesome, Sauce. Thank you. You know what I want everyone to do? Don't guess, assess your busy brain. So go to drromy.com/test and see if you have a busy brain, and that'll welcome you into our ecosystem of free resources. And, you know, at Dr. Romy on social media, hashtag brain shift, and let me know how you're doing.
Absolutely love it. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Dr. Megan Walker, it has been an honor to sit with you.
Anthropology is the study and science of what makes entrepreneurs tick. It's the confluence of the mindset, strategic thinking, and health that we bring to the table as individuals compelled to create and contribute in this world. You know, it's a lonely place to be at the top. It's a lonely place to feel like you are different, which is why we have our Anthropology Collective, a free Facebook group where women just like you gather to explore the ideas, philosophy, health, optimization, and the notion of purpose that we bring to our lives. The Anthropology Collective is open to anyone. You can find us on Facebook, and it's where people just like you are going to be hanging. Until next week, live life on, in, and with purpose. I'm your host, Dr. Megan Walker, and I will talk to you soon.